Heard you're buying a car. I brought my calculator.
Dad, I already used Capital One Auto Navigator. I found my car online and got pre-qualified instantly, instead of all that.
You know those things impact your credit score.
Didn't impact my credit score, Dad. Now I'm going to the dealership for a test drive and to make the purchase.
Sounds too easy.
No, it's just easy. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
That you pulled out here, that it is incredibly important and nobody else is talking about it. There's been a rule change in the Federal Register of the rules, right, that now, instead of even going to the fiasco, which was the amnesty judges, which was all a farce, they can actually sign off an amnesty. They can get administrative people down there to sign off an amnesty at the border when the 18,000 a day are coming across. Is that correct?
Right. In my opinion, this is a mass asylum fraud rubber stamp operation. They are handing the authority to grant asylum to frontline regular asylum officers. You can see them say, oh my God, I'm going to get persecuted back in Honduras, and they can stamp asylum right there, or within a month or so, they can stamp that asylum and you're in. The reason why this is a asylum fraud mill is because all of those persecution stories are bogus. You're not able to verify. There's no requirement to verify any of it. And so in order to clear the backlog and legalize everybody so that there's not a bunch of illegals running around the country, you'll just have a whole bunch of asylum fraudsters running around the country. So that's a very important thing. It needs to be litigated. I think that one needs to go through the courts in an adversarial back and forth to see whether that is legal. That is not what the law requires for asylum. None of that.
By the way, we're not demonizing the people coming up. They're economic migrants. We understand that. But that's not what asylum is about. That's why they're gaming the system here. They're gaming the system. They are exacerbating. This is the first article of impeachment against Biden. They're initiating and exacerbating an invasion of the southern border. Russ Vogt, one more time. Just walk people through your argument at the Center for Renewing America, you and Cuccinelli and others, about the constitutional authority that the state governors, attorney generals, and the states have to protect themselves from an invasion, sir.
You bet. So under the Constitution, there's two primary provisions that we look to. Number one, Article 4, Section 4 is the guarantee clause that says the federal government has the responsibility to protect the states from invasion. And then Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 says that the states cannot do certain things unless they are facing with an invasion. And so it generally keeps the commander-in-chief responsibilities at the federal level unless they are facing an invasion, which they are factually, and we know this, and we have proven this along the border. So this allows the commander-in-chief of a state to be able to issue rules of engagement to sheriffs, state troopers, National Guardsmen, to say, we want you to interdict an illegal immigrant coming across the border, return them to Mexico, across the border, and that will start the flow over time. And that is the only thing that will stop the flow. A lot of things are very important, but until the flow understands that it is being reversed and returned and people are being returned to their country, that is what is most critical to be able to stop what we are seeing. We were able to accomplish that in the Trump administration because of a number of policies that were kind of jerry-rigged together to deal with current law magnets that are already in place. And we were able to do that. Some great people like Ken Cuccinelli and Stephen Miller were able to accomplish that. But right now, that flow is rampant because they put a neon light along the border. And right, what we need now is leaders who are not Mother May I leaders. We need people that are not going to ask for permission to be able to, as constitutional actors in themselves, to read the Constitution and come up and do what is necessary to protect their people from this invasion.
Russ, how do people get to you at your Twitter getter, and how do they get to your center? So they can find out more information about this. We're going to man the ramparts on this one.
AmericaRenewing.com is the website, and they can get me at RussVote on all of the social media channels.
We know the politics. We win overwhelmingly on this. That's where Carnacki's a smart guy. He sees and he was pulling punches at how much the Hispanic working class and middle class are coming with us. Also, all of a sudden you see Mark Kelly in Arizona, Mastos in Cortez Mastos in Nevada, in the senator in Georgia, and even Hassan in New Hampshire saying, whoa, we need a plan. You got to slow down. You can't let 42 off because they know they're going to get swept away by this. The politics are obvious. Russ Vote, thank you. Hero and patriot. Everybody go to his center and follow him. We're nonstop on this thing.
All righty, we're back. John McTurnan, and I'm going to ask you this. Now, Texas says they're going to, the governor out there in Texas says he's going to load all these illegals that come in, put them on buses, and take them right to Washington, D.C. But the Biden regime says that he can't do that to these illegals that come into his state because it's a violation of their First Amendment rights. What's the problem with that, John?
First of all, the criminals, the way they came in, and how do you have rights as you come into the country as a criminal? Other than criminals want to give them the rights.
So that governor, he's under invasion. So does he not have the right to load them all up on buses and take them to Washington, D.C., where all of this starts up?
What I've heard, he has the right to do it if they voluntarily agree. So if he says, they said there's 900 buses ready to go. And that if he says, if you want to go to Washington, where the president will give you a little piece of the White House and Congress there, you can move into Congress. Come on, jump on the bus and we'll take you. But they can't be forced, Pastor. And that's what I understand.
Because you've got all those Democrats in Washington that really have a heart for these illegal aliens, don't they?
Oh, yeah. It's a heart of stone.
Yeah.
No, it's not about heart, Pastor Ernie. It's not about heart at all. You know, you see, here in Ohio, I think we all know people who have died of heroin overdoses. Where is that coming from? That's coming straight above the border and over the border. And when you talk to these Democrats about the drug crisis here in America, you talk about what's happening in rural, especially rural America. Michelle and I have worked with Teen Challenge and a lot of those people that are stuck in this situation. I come from a generation, actually grew up in the 90s, when people weren't stuck on heroin. If people were drug addicts, they smoked pot or were crack addicts. But we have a whole generation that is addicted to heroin, and they're dying every day. There's a wonderful pastor in Northern Ohio, his wife just died, or whose daughter just died. And so you've got these drugs coming over. You've got sex trafficking coming over. So, no, the Democrats do not care about Americans at all, and they don't care about people.
It's fentanyl that's the deadly thing. And Ohio leads the country in deaths by fentanyl. And now here's the reality, and tell me if I'm wrong, but this is an actual factual reality that you won't hear on any of the fake news media. The Biden crime family is working hand in hand with the drug cartels and the human smugglers. They're doing everything they can to help them out and even giving them cell phones, whatever they want, to bring the fentanyl in. The fentanyl's going from China into Mexico. That's where it's getting. And then the drug cartels from there, they're bringing it in here to kill the people. Now, what's happening is a lot of that goes directly to the Somali. The Somali little group there or in Columbus where they have, well, in some of the places there's so many Somalians that they actually fly their own flag. In those Somali neighborhoods that they have built up there. They're like little countries there. And they're very, very, very much involved in human trafficking. And so here, again, we've got an Antichrist communist, and if Joe Biden, this country cannot survive another year of Joe Biden. We're being destroyed too rapidly. We've got to do something. We've got to do something quick. Would you ladies agree?
Absolutely. And here's the beauty of it. I believe that God is lining it all up so that we are supposed to do it. We're feeling the fervency. We're feeling the, if we don't do this, it's all going to go to heck in a handbasket. At the same time, God is giving us the ability and the grace and the anointing, calling us up to actually do something about it.
Okay, so now, one of the things about your ministry there, you ladies, is that you have an ability that us men don't. Some years ago, I've been active in the pro-life movement. John knows I was in the very beginning with Dr. Jack Wilkie back in Columbus when we started Right to Life, Ohio Right to Life. And I was on that board for 21 years, but they were infiltrated. They were infiltrated, and that's why we started Ohio Pro-Life Action. And so, but anyhow, I was trying to activate the pastors. I was trying to get them off their dead behinds and on their dying feet. And so we called a pastor's prayer breakfast on a Saturday. Now, if we had told them that we're going to have a meeting and we're going to ask you guys to help us stop the abortion, the baby killing up there at Hillcrest Hospital, we probably wouldn't have many of them come. But we didn't tell them that. We just said, there's going to be a big pastor's prayer breakfast and really good food. And we had these pretty Christian ladies that were cooking that food. Now, so they came, and now if they'd have seen me just walk out there, you know, I was, as the plain dealer used to say, the fire-breathing, hellfire preacher, right? So I laid low, and I let Terry was like you, a very pretty and gentle young lady. And she came out and she said, "Pastors, we need you to lead us. We really need some bold men. We need you men to be bold and lead us. And you're not. You haven't done that. And so please." And she actually even cried a little bit when she talked about they're murdering, they're killing little babies, and you pastors aren't leading us like you should. Well, she kind of, two of them that were there snuck out. And I know who they were to this day. They kind of bent down trying to sneak out the back door. And the reason for that is, then she introduced me, and I got up there, and I preached. I told them, look, we're looking for people. The righteous are as bold as lions. They're killing babies up here at this hospital. And you guys, every one of you, you know that you are supposed to be standing. You're supposed to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. You're supposed to have the guts and the courage to go up there and be bold and not dishonor God with a lack of courage. And so I told them that, and two of them snuck out, but the others all followed me up there. We went up there. And it turned out that we had like 700 people come out all together. And it was an amazing turnout. And so, but you see, I couldn't have got those guys to activate them. But like Terry, when she got up there and when she told them that we ladies, your wives and your families want you to lead us, that poked them, that pricked them, okay? And that worked out. And so, you girls can do the very same thing. And I imagine that's exactly what you are doing.
That is exactly what we're doing. And you remind me of a Phineas in that moment where it only takes one. It only took one to stop it. And others will follow. So I would just, my cry for men tonight, if there are any men that are listening, you can be that one and lead, and other men will follow. And the women in your lives will be just like John Adams' wife, Abigail, and support you and lift you up.
Absolutely. You know what? Things are always a lot better when men act like men and when women act like women, huh?
Amen. Agreed.
And see, in our church, that's all we have, the families. They're all the husbands are men and all the wives are women. We don't have any of those in-between things.
That's as it should be. It's as it should be.
Out there. All right, very good. So now what we're talking about, the border there, again, we are being invaded. Our country is being invaded, and the Biden crime cartel, and that's exactly what they are, they're aiding and abetting the Mexican drug cartels and the human smugglers out there. Mm. And, John, a huge blow to fake news and the FBI. Zero guilty verdicts in case of the alleged plot to kidnap leftist Governor Whitmer. Look, who in the world would want to kidnap her? Okay. Think about that. Who? But anyhow, you don't suppose it was made up of rogue FBI agents, the deep state, do you?
It was, Pastor Ernie. There were more FBI agents or FBI agent informants in that cabal than there were supposedly criminals. I think there was 7 FBI agents in that group.
You know, I had friends that were FBI agents. They, you know, they were sent out all the time to. Actually, I did three radio programs with FBI agents sitting in the studio with me. And they were there because the Deathocrats had called in and said that I had gone on the air and said I was going to kill Bill Clinton. I never said any such thing. I said, you know, all you got to do is you listen to the tapes of all the programs. Oh, they said, we know you never did. And I said, well, then what are you doing here? They said, well, we kind of wanted to sit in. That's when I was on at 3 in the afternoon. They said when the whole shop turns the radios on, and these were the good guys. These were the white hats. These were FBI agents that could lift their head up and not be ashamed. They weren't. These were good cops, clean cops, not like we have today. And you know, those folks, the older ones now that have retired, they are so ashamed. They are so ashamed of Chris Wray's FBI, how they betrayed America. It's just unbelievable. And so and it's getting out. It's getting out. Now, let me ask those ladies, because they're really smart. What do you think? The Democrats cannot afford an honest, fair election. They can't afford it. An honest, fair election will decimate the Democratic Communist Party. So what do you think they're going to do?
I think they're going to continue to try for more fraud. And I think you're absolutely right. They can't afford it because the people are rising up and the people would vote overwhelmingly to get rid of these people. What do you think, Leah?
That's a really interesting question. I don't know exactly what they're going to do this year, because are they going to let all the polls show that Republicans are going to run with this ball all the way down and score a touchdown. And so honestly, if I'm making a prediction, it's aliens. No, I'm just kidding. But they're going to do something. They will do something.
I think they'll pull another
COVID.
2020 thing, like a COVID thing or something, out of a hat. Whether it's economic collapse, like Leah said, alien invasion, I don't know.
They cannot afford the House. They can't afford the House to go back to the Republicans, because the investigation into the Bidens leads all the way to the Clintons, and it goes all the way around. So, Pastor Ernie, what do you think they're going to do? That is a million-dollar question.
Well, I think they're going to cause a false flag. I think they're going to have some kind of something to distract. Now, the state of Washington, they virtually decided that they're going to legalize election fraud. And the state of Washington is going to be the only voting. It will be by paper ballots. And they're all set up because, again, that's a corrupt, corrupt state. But they know that too many people are watching now. And I don't think Marky Zuckerberg could spend another $370 million to flip, as he wanted, to 15 million votes. And even right now, there's a number of states, more and more growing. Wisconsin wants to decertify the election. You've got the electors there. In fact, I had a whole list of states that want to reverse that election, because all the evidence came out now with all the election fraud. And so they know people are going to be watching. It can't be like there was before. The FBI has been, pardon?
I was going to say, I've always said that Wisconsin was the easiest to prove. Wisconsin would be the first one to fall because it's the easiest to prove, especially with the
indefinitely confined.
The voting by indefinitely confined. You had election officials telling people that they could vote without a driver's license, without a proof of ID, if they simply said that they were indefinitely, that means they could never leave their house, confined. And you had 50,000 in previous years and 250,000 in this past election.
Absolutely. And let me see. I was just looking for these articles. There was, just massive, massive. I watched as they unloaded in Michigan, as the trucks came in the middle of the night, after all the Republicans had been barred from watching the results as they were cutting the polls. But trucks came in and unloaded thousands and thousands of ballots. And on the boxes, it had written right on it, ballots for Biden. I mean, just the corruption was unbelievable. You saw what happened there in Georgia when the Republicans were sent home, and the first thing that happened was they come on, they started pulling the boxes out from underneath the tables. And so, and wouldn't you know, I was looking for that. I had all those articles here. Here's one. Alaska hands over election to corrupt Democrats. Upcoming election will have all. This is Alaska, too? All mail-in ballots? Oh, no. So now you've got that in Alaska, too. So upcoming elections, huge GOP. Officials of more than half of the Wisconsin counties are calling for a decertification of the state's 2020 election result. So you got more than half of the Wisconsin counties are calling. They found hundreds of thousands of votes. Let me see. Bombshell. I'll just mention this anyhow. Biden, FEC nominee, admits her name is on legal document attesting voting machines used in the Georgia illegally switched votes from one candidate to the other. I mean, they're right out in front with their crime. It's like they felt that they're impervious, that being a Democrat, You get a free pass, right? Like Hillary? Well, anyhow, I'm going to play another clip. And then, now, I might not play this whole clip, but this is one of the reasons God is angry with America. God is very, very angry with America. And this clip has to do with organ harvesting. And, you know, we always, when you talk about organ harvesting, you think of China. But there's another country that's doing it. Would you play that clip?
They poured through years of descriptive documents on the executions of death row inmates, and they found inconsistencies that indicate that the inmates were not brain dead. When Chinese surgeons tore out their vital organs to be used in transplant surgeries. This is something that we've had reports about this for quite some time. As a matter of fact, going back, at least 20 years ago, I remember, and I've mentioned this once before, I was in a, we subscribed to, at the time, this is before there was social media, but you could subscribe to some of these bulletin boards where people would be talking about homeschooling and some other issues. And, Karen would get on there, I would get on there, but one of these times, it was predominantly the mothers that would get on, and they were organizing a visit to the bodies exhibit, if you know what I mean, these plasticized bodies that come from China. And they put the actual human bodies that are plasticized so that you can see the skeletal system, but you can also see the muscles in some of these or the circulatory system. And so, we were talking about that. I looked at what they're saying. I said, this is not something that you ought to be supporting, because there's a lot of indications and rumors and discussion that some of these bodies had shown up. I think it was a guy in Germany who was plasticizing them, but he's getting his bodies from China. Some of them showed up with gunshot wounds and other things like that. And it's like, you know, you realize that the people that they're executing in China, in many cases, are just people who have opposed them politically. And do you really want them to be able to profit from this? But then we see and had many, many stories about how they were marking people that were political prisoners for organ extraction. And now you have this study where they went through and they found indications, just like we have said with the HEK cell line, that you know, you had to get that from the baby while it was alive. Just like these babies are being used to create transhumanist mice, or they call them humanized mice, right? But they mix in human organs with the mice so they can use them as test animals. That's what Fauci is doing now. And so when you look at this, the HEK cell line or the humanized mice, you realize that they've got to get these organs out while the person is alive. And the same thing was happening with this. So they said in many of the cases that they identified in the Chinese government reports, they realized that tearing out the organs was the cause of death for the inmates. Might the transplant surgeon become the de facto executioner? Evidence suggestive of such behavior has emerged over many years in the People's Republic of China. The researchers concluded that China has breached the medical ethics standard known as the dead donor rule. See, a lot of people are just assuming that when they use these baby parts for their pharmaceutical testing, that they got it from a dead baby. They're just, you know, we're just going to make good use of this dead baby. No, that's not the way that it works, and it's not the way that it worked here either. Doctors should not kill people to transplant their organs into another person or to transplant their organs into a mouse so that you can do mad science like Fauci is doing. The NIH, the FDA, the University of Pittsburgh, a lot of these organizations in conjunction with Planned Parenthood have been doing this for quite some time. Anyway, what is happening in China? China has systematically killed political dissidents, members of religious and spiritual communities that it disapproves of in order to sell their organs to wealthy buyers. And so who are they coming after? Well, I mentioned many times, the number one group is not the Uyghurs. The number one group has been Falun Gong. The only people that they talk about in the American press are the Uyghurs, because that ethnic group is predominantly Muslim. But they also ignore Tibetan Buddhists and Christians. House church Christians are the ones that they're coming for in many of these cases. The leader of China's transplant sector wrote in 2007 that effectively 95% of all organ transplants were from prisoners. In dozens of examples of problematic removal of organs, a study found that given the donors could not have been brain dead before the organ procurement, the declaration of brain dead could not have been medically sound. If the reports are accurate, they indicate that heart and lung procurement by the surgeon was the cause of the prisoner's death, directly implicating the surgeon in the execution. Well, doesn't it implicate Planned Parenthood doing body parts for hire? No, no, no. We're going to hold them harmless. And Kamala Harris and Javier Becerra, who is now the head of HHS, Health and Human Services, how's that for hypocrisy? The two of them, as California Attorney General, went after the whistleblowers to destroy their lives and to protect Planned Parenthood. And yet the reality is it's the FDA and the NIH that are the biggest customers of this murder for hire at the abortion clinics. But again, back to China. As China is a communist totalitarian government, it regularly imprisons individuals for things that they call crimes, such as picking quarrels and provoking trouble. That's one of their things. Yeah, we talked about the fact that Artur Pulaski was arrested, SWAT teamed and arrested, because he was getting ready to go to speak to truckers, and the charge was mischief. Well, in China, they call it picking quarrels and provoking trouble. Same thing. Typically, when someone is perceived to express disagreement with the government or to hold illegal religious beliefs, we found that the physicians became the executioners on behalf of the state and that the method of execution was heart removal. Studies findings are in line with a testimony that we've had from Enver Todi, who was a doctor. He described things in his time frame in 2019. He told the China Tribunal, he said, an independent organization, the China Tribunal is an independent organization created to research evidence of international law crimes by the Communist Party. So he told that China Tribunal that he was personally rushed into extracting the organs from a still-alive death row patient in East Turkestan, where the majority of the world's Uyghur people live, and he did that back in 1995. The China Tribunal published a report following its investigation accusing the Chinese state of committing crimes against humanity by systematically killing people for their organs, particularly Falun Gong, Uyghurs, Tibetan Buddhists, and house church Christians. China's Global Times newspaper celebrated in June 2021 that it had more than 100 times more volunteer organ donors than it did in 2015. 2015 was when voluntary donation became the only legal channel. So supposedly in 2015, they stopped taking the organs from prisoners. Except now, after they stopped that, they wound up with 100 times more. No, they're still doing it in prison, and they're doing it to a greater extent. So when you look at Planned Parenthood, the people who have been the ones that you hire to do murder, to obtain body parts for Fauci's mad science experiments. And again, as I've mentioned when I talked about this, people are far more upset about how he tortured puppies than, for his scientific curiosity and research, science research.
Here's a song for all of you liberals who believe your ways are best, who don't mind overcrowding this nation with a swarm of foreign immigrants, who don't care about the population, who don't care if it's fouling our nest. When are you ever gonna read the writing upon the wall? We got crime overtaking our cities. We got gangs taking over our streets. We keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Now can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. How can we ever come to any solution when all we ever do is debate? We've got to get a tighter grip on our borders. We've got to seriously legislate and quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist and quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming
another third world fashion police state. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States.
Yeah, it's way past time. Ladies, do you know, have you ever heard of the Mountain Yards? Do you know who the Mountain Yards are?
We do not. Okay. Tell us, Pastor Ernie.
They're the indigenous people from what is known as Vietnam. They were the original natives in that area of Vietnam. Okay. And when the Vietnamese that you have there today, those were immigrants that came in from China. And they overtook, and they brought with them communism. And okay. So here... a number of those Mountain Yards who some of were pastors, were friends of mine, they had to hide. Pastor Nee, for example, was a good example. He was a pastor, and he had gone to a friend's house, and while he was gone, the communists blew his house up with a rocket, and when he got back, they went after pastors. He had no family left. They were gone. And he ended up hiding in the jungle for 18 years from the communists until he was rescued by our special forces. And anyhow, they came in. And I went down and I preached in three of the churches. In North Carolina, you have a large, large group of Mountain Yard people that have gone there to live. And I went and I preached in three of the churches. And while we were out to lunch and... we had gone to Washington, D.C. I spent a whole week there going to all the human rights organizations. And here's why. The people there in Vietnam, the way it was set up, the Mountain Yards, those that are left, the government, if you can't afford, they give you so much land to farm that. If you can't afford it, they'll give you the money. But then if the farmland can't produce, then they take you and they literally sell you. And while I was having a lunch with these other pastors, one of them got a call, and it was from his daughter, who was sold by the government to Saudi Arabia. Wow. And they allowed him, you know, the Saudis allowed her to have to talk to him, you know, over the smartphones where they could see each other. They had visual and audio, and she told him right there while we were that this is the last time that we will see each other or speak to each other because they're going to harvest my organs today.
Oh, and that, my. Yeah.
Yeah, and that took place there. Now, another one, we raised money to get Pastor Nee's niece out of there. We had to raise enough money and bought her back and brought her back here. But unfortunately, by the time we got her back here, she had developed cancer. But she had told us that while she was there, that she saw two young teenagers, very young, that were literally frozen alive to keep their organs, and that she witnessed this here. Now, what's happening? You talk about the ultimate wickedness with these babies. You've got these women that are literally go out and they'll get pregnant and they'll carry a baby to full term and they sell it. They sell that baby. You talk about witness to be experiment on. You know, and they've got a number of these breeders. These women are wicked to the bone, okay? But some of them have drug habits or whatever. But they'll sell these babies to go ahead and let them experiment. What they do... Now, these babies, and that's happening here. The University of Pittsburgh is a horrible place. It's an evil, evil, it's a whorehouse out there because that's one of the places they do this. And of course, the FDA, our government, is involved in this just horrifying evil, the evil that's there. That Becerra that he mentioned there, that guy, like Kamala Harris, Both of them went after Dunedin, who exposed this. They went after the people the evil. Nebuchadnezzar is an animal. He's a beast. You know, and over in Jude, I think it's verse 10, it talks about these are beasts. It refers to these type of people as beasts. Anyhow, this is an evil like you've never seen, and that's what's happening today, and that's one of the things that we're fighting so hard to stop. We've got to stop the child killing in this country, the murder. We're standing in the shadow of an angry God, right, John McTernan?
Amen, Pastor Ernie. No doubt about it.
And so, anyhow...
Can I just jump in and say that this is probably the coolest show that I've heard in a long time. Okay, well, here you've got, you're playing clips from, who's the guy that used to be an enforcer?
The fella that sang the song?
With the beard. Oh, I can't remember his name. Okay, he used to be Alex Jones's.
Oh, yeah, Alex Jones, the clip. That's David Knight.
David Knight. So you play the David Knight clip, and that was actually, that's brand new news. You're literally on the cusp of everything. You've got the organ harvesting that you're talking about in Pennsylvania. This is what we cover on our show all the time. And I'm telling you, Michelle and I are, what we've been trying to do is get pastors to wake up, pastors to be doing exactly what you're doing. And if I could just say one thing on the show is thank you.
Yeah.
Absolutely thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Well, I thank you. And like I said, you ladies have a great opportunity to shame the pastors. You know, we talked about these prissy preachers some years ago. They would, when I used to, for 25 years, John McTernan, you know this, I challenged any three neo-evangelical preachers to debate me on Romans 13, didn't I?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah.
We have four mics, didn't we? And I challenged any three. I would take on, in 25 years, I never got one taker. And they pervert Romans 13 to try to justify not having the courage to stand up. See, Romans 13 means exactly what Romans 13 says. And they would use that to try to justify not having the courage to do what they...
Let me jump in. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I went to a Bible college in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I went to a church, a very large church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And that particular church, now the pastor has come out to say, we're not getting involved in political issues. We're just going to stick with the Word of God. Now, I have my own opinion on that, but what is yours?
Well, my opinion, I can take it from the Bible. Have you ever heard of the doctrine of the lesser magistrate?
Yes, sir.
I preached on that some 50 years ago and preached on it many, many times past there. Okay, here you go. Listen, we're going to find out. People ask you, well, what does the Bible teach on, say, baptism? Is baptism by sprinkling, is that all right? Well, I would say if we take a look at New Testament, you won't find one case, not one time, where anyone was baptized other than on their profession of faith. So that leaves out if it's, and also by immersion. So in every single case, you find people were baptized by immersion upon their profession of faith. So that settles the baptism thing. And so I say, let's take a look at what God's Word, the Bible, says. So you start in Genesis and you go to Revelation. Every prophet, every priest, every great preacher, every single one of them, now none ensued this, like Jesus himself, but every single one of them, their faith and their politics were inseparable. They were one of the same. One of the same. Okay, so these pastors, these are prissy preachers, and you couldn't, when they say we're not to get involved, say, yeah, I can understand, you're telling me that you're not salt and light. Because right now, let me ask you this. When you get saved, are you an heir of the kingdom?
Yes.
Okay, so now, you know, people misunderstand that passage of Scripture, too, where it says, render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and render to God what belongs to God. And most people think that they're telling you that that means that you have to pay your taxes and listen to Caesar. No. So what Jesus said, he meant exactly what he said. And this is why the Pharisees, the Sadducees and the Herodians were taken back. Because he says, render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. Well, here's what the Bible says. The earth and the fullness thereof belong to God. The earth and everything on it. So if you take the earth and everything on it, and if everything on it belongs to God, including Caesar, what belongs to Caesar?
Nothing.
You got it. That's what the Lord Jesus was telling them.
Ding, 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 ding. We got one right.
Yes, okay. And so when the people say, well, what did he say? And he said, well, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, unto God what belongs to God. And they said, well, according to the word of God, what belongs to God? And that's why they were taken back, because they had to say, well, gee, you know, it's everything belongs to God, right? And so
I've never viewed that way, and you have taught me something, and I love it so much.
Remember the 5 points that we just talked about of divine human government? Real, and it's real. I mean, real human government, divine, legitimate. Our government is not legitimate. Remember what the third point was? The third point was that God kept dominion of man for himself because he made man in his image. And when the Lord Jesus said, show me a coin, whose subscription or whose image is on there? And they said, well, Caesar's, okay? Well, Caesar was made in the image of who?
God.
So the point that he was getting across to him, even Caesar belongs to God.
Wow, that's so powerful.
Oh, man, that won't preach in most churches, actually.
No.
That's so good. That is so good.
See, I didn't write any of that. I would write, John? I mean, we just read it, right?
Right, Pastor Ernie.
And so, anyhow, yeah, you ladies would love our church. You would love Doers of the Word because we...
Too.
Yeah, we go in depth into the Bible. We take the teaching to another level that most places you don't. You got too many places, like what we talked about, the 501c3. See, our church is not a 501c3. I don't know if you understand that, but when you're a 501...
We absolutely... We didn't know
impressive.
It, but I'm very impressed. We always encourage people not to be.
Well, we preached on this years and years ago, and about the 501c3. See, when you sign that contract with the state, then you agree that you're a corporation. You become a corporation. Corpus means non-living. It means you're a non-living creation of the state. And so you agree in a contract or a covenant with the state that you're a non-living creation. What is the body of the bride of Christ? The body of Christ is a what? Living bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you're a 501c3, you also agree, okay, that the state is your head. You agree in a contract that the state is your head. But the Bible says that Christ is the head. Here, if you're a 501c3, you'll maybe have a board of directors because you're a corporation. See, if you agree in covenant with that, then God says if you agree and you place yourself what under a wicked master, then you have to obey the wicked master, don't you?
Oh, see.
And so,
there you go.
Because if you don't, after you've entered into that, then you are crossing both the wicked master and God. Okay, mm-hmm. But see here, under the Bible tells you that under the church, Christ is the head, and the under shepherd, the pastor of the local assembly, is under him. Well, under the 501c3, they go by Black's Law, and the word, they don't use the word for shepherd or pastor, they use the word agent. The pastor is an agent, and it's got two definitions. One of them is intercessor between the assembly and the state, the other one is a spy for the state against the assembly.
Oh,
but,
wow.
But again, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for Lack of knowledge, huh?
Yeah.
All right, John McTernan, you've got 4 minutes. You know what to do with it.
Okay, Pastor Ernie. Folks, tonight we covered a lot of truth about what's going on. And always, the hour we live in, always evil is being manifested. We heard about what China's doing. But here in the United States, they're taking live babies out of the womb and doing the same thing. I mean, it's evil. There's no other way to describe this but evil. And because it's being done here, doesn't make it in any way softening it. It just shows you the wickedness of man. And there is an end result of this wickedness for man. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment in the Bible, where it's in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, where everyone who has not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is going to stand before Christ in judgment at the Great White Throne. And the end result of that is a place called the Lake of Fire. That's where people go that deny Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because God has provided a way. He's holy. God is holy. And sin cannot come into his heaven. It can't. There can be no sin in heaven. So there's a penalty for it. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he sent Jesus Christ, sinless, without sin, the only begotten Son of God, to die on the cross and shed his blood to pay for the penalty of sin that we deserve. He took our sin. In fact, the Bible says he took our sin and we were given his righteousness. That's some trade, folks. But that's what it took to pay the price for sin, for Christ to die on the cross and shed his blood. And then we have to believe that he rose again the third day bodily from the dead, and he is returning bodily. That is the only way to heaven, folks. There is no other way, because that penalty must be paid for. So when we confess Jesus Christ, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's God's promise. And then, of course, it involves repentance. Repentance means we're walking in sin and a life without Christ. And we turn 180 degrees, and now we're walking with him as our Lord and Savior and following his word. Following his word. So repentance and confession of Jesus Christ is what's needed for his salvation and to have eternal life in heaven with the Lord as our Savior. Yeah, Pastor Ernie?
Well, thank you. Thank you, John, for that. And folks, you need to do that tonight. Don't run out of tomorrows. Many people are going to run out of tomorrows. And there are going to be hundreds and even millions of people won't be here by this time tomorrow, and most of them have no intention of dying, but it's not their call. Ladies, the computer's going to shut me off, so I just want to say thank you. We got to get you two girls back, Leah and Michelle, back here very soon. And until tomorrow, get ready. We want to say God bless, good night, and always, always keep fighting the fight.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.